Anybody here glad to know that your sins have been forgiven because Jesus Christ decided to make a move and He died for you? Amen. Well, let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for this church. But most of all, I thank You for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. And so, God, as we hear You today, may You give us a clear and distinct vision on who You are, what You are doing, and how You're doing it. In the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, it is great to see every one of you here today. And you know what? We're going to take just a pause today and worship. God's lit us up. But you know what? We got to get the vision of this church. And a lot of y'all have been asking, okay, where are we going? What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? Okay? So I want to go over that today, all right? This is where we're going as a church. This is who we are as a church called Hillview Heights Church. And so I want to encourage you today. You're going to hear some things today that you are a part of it. First of all, I want to thank you for a couple of things as a congregation. I want to thank you for being an open-minded group of people. And continue to be that, okay? This doesn't give you the opportunity to close down your minds. I'm encouraging you. Continue to open them, okay? Let God use us in this moment of time. And I want to thank you that you don't complain too much. Can't say it's not at all, but it's not too much. And even when you do complain, you go on with what God said. And that's good. And I want to continue. We got to go on with what God has said to us as a church. What's Hillview Heights Church about? Its first point is this. We are about connecting people to Jesus Christ. And you say, well, that's simple. No, that's the point. That's the point. I'm going to go ahead and concede to every one of you UK fans. Before I concede, I want to note that it is every 30 years that UK beats a team in the top 10. And so I would clarify that as a blind squirrel finding a nut every once in a while. And last night, he found one for this reason. If you don't perform the basics, you don't win. U of L last night was trying to pull a feat that is impossible in football. You cannot win without a defense. You must tackle people so they will not score. Okay, there's a basic. That looks simple. Grab a guy, put him on the ground. But if you do not do this, you do not accomplish the vision. You don't win. Coach Hayes, you're an offensive lineman. If you don't block, you big old guys up front, don't block, it doesn't matter who's behind them, does it? Watch this. Here's what I'm showing you in life. Guess what? If you don't love your wife, it doesn't matter what you buy her. She knows. If you don't love your kids, it doesn't matter where you send them or what you say. It's what you become. I'm telling you guys, really, the great things in life are in doing the right thing in the little things. That's where life really comes from. So let's go to the basics. Why in the world do we gather together to have church? Number one, so people might connect to who?
Jesus.
Oh, come on, give it to me. Who?
Jesus.
What is Hillview about? Let's see if you can get all the answers to this. Who made Hillview? Okay, good. Who empowers Hillview? Y'all aren't sure? Yeah, some of y'all are a little weak. Who changes people?
Jesus.
Who straightens up their immorality?
Jesus.
Oh, y'all got that one real quick, didn't you? Who helps people get off drugs and alcohol and stuff and messes up their lives?
Jesus.
Good, so who are we about at Hillview?
Jesus.
Okay, good. I'm glad y'all, the name above all names. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. I want to give you some things where we are going as a church. And I got some good news. You've been faithful, and I'm going to encourage you to continue to be faithful. Okay? And you're going to begin to hear the vision of the church. What are we doing here at Hillview? We're connecting people to who? Jesus. In everything we do. Last week you went to Godstock, all kinds of crazy people all over the state park. Why in the world we were doing that? So some might come to know who? Jesus. Now you say, is this important? I think it is. Here we have Jesus at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. I think this is an important scripture. I think this is a basic scripture. I don't think you have church if you don't have this scripture engaged. Are you going to say, really? Now here's what's so sad, guys. This is not popular in America. We really don't have churches that want to win people to Jesus anymore. We have churches that want to gather to help themselves. Now, let's think about it. You can come and bless yourself, or you can go work and help others. Which one are you inclined to do first? Help yourself. Because naturally, we're what? How many of y'all would agree with that? Naturally, I'm selfish. Well, I am. If I'm at the table and I'm looking at that, there's three or four steaks on the table, I got to confess, I am spying the biggest one down. And I do it real politely, though. You all don't want these other two, do you? Good, I'll take this one. See, I want what I want. Any of y'all got that problem? Now, if we're going to have a church that blesses the world, and I think we're on our way to having a church that blesses the world, obviously, we cannot be selfish. Look at Jesus. He was not selfish. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 28. We'll start at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. All right? First part of having a vision in the church. We got to go where Jesus tells us to. Okay, so I want you to put this word in your mind. You ready? Go. We have a go God. We have a God that says, go. Now, a lot of us want to have a faith that says, sit and soak. This is very popular in American culture. I hear this all the time. Richard, people come out of church and they go, well, I didn't get anything out of that today. You know what my answer is to that? So what? It wasn't about you today. It was about Jesus today. Worship's not about you. The reason you didn't get anything out of it is because you have a misunderstanding of worship. You thought you were supposed to come here and feel good. That's the bar, not the church. The church is not a replacement for a spiritual bar. It's not like you come in, get you a couple of hits of prayer, leave, and everything's okay. This is a life that I engage. It's not about how I feel. It's about who Jesus is, and it's about a life that becomes possible to me. And I want to show you something. The 11 are gathered. And they're amazed. And I want to help you with this vision. Look at here. When they saw him, they worshiped him. Oh, why do we come here to worship? I got a big clue. I believe Jesus is alive. I think that's why you worship. We worship because God is real. Amen? How many of y'all glad to know that cross we sung about is a real deal? And that just check this out a minute. Anybody here a sinner? How many of y'all really sinned? How many of you all are convinced without Jesus I go to hell? Woo, I am. I mean, if God gets me and looks at me and says, Steve Ayers, I would like to see your resume. Let's not talk about that, God. Let's sing at the cross where I first saw the light. Because it's at the cross where I get life. Now look, why were they amazed? First of all, I think they were amazed. He's there. These are the same people that watched him die. And now he stands in front of them. First step into the vision of the church. We believe Hillview Heights Church is a place where people need to discover what? Life. See, Jesus was what on the cross? Dead. But here's the good news of the church. Jesus did not stay dead. So you and I also do not have to stay what? Come on, what? There we go. How many of y'all believe the job of the church is to bring dead people to life? Guess what you all saw at Godstock? Dead people coming to life. Some of our guests are going, what? Let me explain before you get too freaked out and think the cemetery is going to explode. First, without Jesus in your life, I want you to understand this. You are confined to your sinful nature. How many of y'all realize that? How many of y'all notice you don't quit stuff on your own? I mean, even if you go to quit class. If you sit around the group and go, I think I'm going to quit. 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 Even if you get an accountability partner that helps you quit, so you can look at each other and go, I'm going to quit. And they go, well, I'm going to quit. And I'm going to quit. And I'm going to quit. How many of y'all find you still do? Me too. Because there's got to be a divine interruption in my life. Grace. Jesus has got to bring me to life. That's the point of the church. Jesus is resurrected. Okay, y'all get this? Because this all corresponds to the vision of God's church. So as Jesus stands there resurrected before him, they worshiped him. So Hillview, I want to tell you something. We got to continue to worship. Amen? And the more we worship, the more faithful we will be. The more we worship, the more of God we can see. The more we worship, the more of God's destiny comes into focus. Hillview, I want to thank you for being a worshiping church. And that means you're going to yield yourself to Jesus' way. That's what worship is. Well, guess what? Some doubted. They worshiped, but some doubted. How many of y'all realize somebody's always going to doubt? Come on, how many of y'all realize somebody's going to always doubt? How many of y'all, after you got married, you doubted for a couple times? I did. Elizabeth, you didn't doubt at all? Well, praise God. Shirley, you doubted? Anybody? I mean, you said I do, and it was like real certain right there at the moment. Because you weren't able to say, I reckon, so you had to say, I do. I hope this is possible. You had to say, I do. And after you say, I do, how many of y'all had some doubts at different moments? But I want to tell you something. This is where vision comes in. They worshiped, some doubted. Hillview, I need you to get on the they worshiped him side and stay out of the doubting side. Here's what I want to tell you. There will always be doubters in life. Always be doubters in life. That's just part of life. There's always people that doubt. There's always they that doubt. Luckily, Hillview, the they family left. Thank God they're gone. You know, every church I pastored, they had a they family. I'd have people come up to me all the time and say, Pastor Steve, they said this, and they said this was going to be, you know, we got rid of them in Hillview. We don't have the they family. Because I love asking people when they come to me, they go, well, they told me. I said, tell me who they are. Well, I can't do that. That'd be breaking the confidence. I said, maybe you're just a coward. Maybe you don't have enough guts in you, enough fortitude in you to say, I think this. You're privileged to think that. But then you have to check it. Did Jesus say it? You know why they doubted? Because they couldn't see him. They saw him, but they couldn't see him. You following me? How many of y'all have things that are right in front of you, but you can't see it? You got a beautiful family, but you can't see it. You got a wonderful job, but you can't what? See it. Guess what? We got a blessed church, but some of you can't what? Because you're always looking at who? You. Here's what I've discovered in life. When I look at me, I doubt. And when I look at him, I believe. Because I can't fix it, but he can. Now, that's the first vision. You got it? Now, guys, here's the deal at Hillview. We are very serious about people coming to know Jesus Christ. Very serious. We think it's the point. Because watch this. They worshiped him. Some doubted. Some believed. And guess what Jesus said? All authority on heaven and earth has been given to who? Me. And then he gave us a mission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go to where? All nations. We're on our way. How many of you all met Pastor Robinson? Pastor Robinson. Pastor Robinson is our pastor in Costa Rica. Now, why did God send us to Costa Rica? I don't know. He did. Why Costa Rica? Well, I found the part of Costa Rica he sent us to is in the mountains. And it's like a bunch of Kentuckians on Spanish. So we can relate. But he has a heart that people might know who? Jesus, man. And we got a heart that people might know what? Jesus. And over an 8-year connection process, God put it together. Now, this is the way Hillview works. I want you to understand. God develops visions here. And they take a while to percolate sometimes. And so today I'm wanting to tell you where we're going as a church because some things have percolated. And I know some of you go, well, you haven't told us this and you haven't told us that and you haven't told us this and you haven't told us this. Here's why. We think out loud for a couple of years before it comes together. So I don't want to tell you one thing and then come back and tell you something else and then tell you something else. Or all I'm going to do as a pastor is manage chaos. So now I'm telling you what's come together, okay? We are forming a church in Costa Rica. Right now it has 28 members. The name of the church is Pan para Todos. And I'm not speaking in tongues, that is Spanish. Pan para Todos, which means bread for everyone. Does that sound Hillview-ish? See, Pastor Robinson and his wife want to make sure that everybody in Cartago gets the bread of Jesus. Does that sound like connect everyone to Jesus? Make sure there's a community for them. Make sure truth shared. Okay. So guess what? That's one of the visions. Jesus said, therefore, go to all what? Nations. Now, Mickey, you've been here about as long as I were. We were in the foyer talking about that we've changed over the years of this vision. Amen. Now, Jane, you haven't, but Mickey and I have, okay? And watch this. Mickey, I was your pastor 10 years ago. Did I come to you and say, hey, in 2007, we're going to be in Costa Rica? No, because I'm too dumb to know that in 2007. Linebacker. We let God show it and then let God confirm it, and then we go with it. Amen? So here's some things I want to let you know that are on the go and everybody's a part of. You ready? Visiting the church. First of all, we have a goal, a mission at Hillview. I hope you want to give your lives to this, okay? The deacons are willing to give their lives to this. The elders are willing to give their lives to this. The leadership of the church and the staff is willing to give their lives to this. I'm willing to give my life to this. Before we leave the planet in this generation of church, we at Hillview believe there will be 30 other churches running over 1,000 people before we get done. That's our vision. Now, if my Warren Central math's correct, that's a little over 30,000 people affected by the gospel. Amen?
Yeah.
I want you to see a vision that powerful. And you say, oh, Pastor, how would we get that done? Don't what? Don't doubt it. How many of y'all are glad I didn't believe what people told me about Hillview Heights Church? Here were my predictions. They'll fire him in 6 months. Good odds on that. That church will never hold up. After 5 years of God reaching people, here was the next thing the community said. Well, it'll be over with in a little while. It's a flash in the pan. It's entertainment church. They're having too much fun for it to be the real thing. Everybody knows that people that follow Jesus are boring as all get out. Those people are too joyous to follow Jesus. Then the church went from impossible to start to easy to start. I hadn't figured that one out yet. You know what? When there's a work of God, just stay in it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You all have become a work of God. Now, here's what I'm asking you to do. Let's keep on moving. So here's the challenge. Go ye therefore and do what? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is important. That is the purpose of the church. That's why we're here. If Jesus said it, we're going to get in it. Now, let me tell you what. That mission has been fought in this church by the gates of hell. For 17 years as your pastor, everybody comes to me trying to get us off that main focus. And Scott, guess what they use most of the time? Good stuff. Well, Pastor, we're not doing this long enough, or we're not doing that long enough, or what about the spiritual gifts? I'm a full believer in the spiritual gifts as long as they're behind the Great Commission. And what we did in the 80s is we made the gifts the purpose instead of the gifts the skills to live out the commission. If you look at Jesus, He gave us gifts and empowered us with purpose so we could complete His mission. Go ye therefore and do what? Let's take, for instance, the gift of tongue. The gift of tongues. Let me tell you what. If I'm in Costa Rica, I hope I get that gift. And I hope it's in Spanish. And I do believe that I got a God that's sufficient enough, that has the ability, that's powerful enough. If I'm ready to preach and I got to preach in Spanish, He'll give it to me in Spanish so they can get His glory. We got a God. How many of y'all believe we got a God that powerful enough? Amen. But the glory will be who? Jesus. And the only reason Jesus has to do that is because I wasn't obedient enough to listen in Spanish class. God put me in Spanish class and I didn't listen. Because guess what? God knew I was going to need to speak Spanish later on, but I didn't know that. So you do get dumb taxes. How many of y'all have noticed in a long life? You do get penalized for being dumb. He said, don't be taking up that with the Lord. I'm like, Lord, you didn't provide. Because I wish he'd speak real clear and go, you didn't listen. So I want you to listen today. Here's our vision. We're going to go with as many people as possible affected by the gospel. University students, you're in a place of 22,000 young adults. I don't think you need to go on a lot of mission trips. Let me help you with the numbers. About 5,000 of them know Christ. And you need another place to go do ministry? Try the dorm room. It's really cool, too, because you don't have to fly there to get there. You don't have to pay hotel cost. Guess what you have to do, though? It costs you everything. You have to live out your faith authentically, not for a week, but for a lifetime. That's why it's much more difficult to do ministry than it is moment. Huh? Amen? Not a moment, but a lifetime. Well, here's what this vision is. How many of y'all believe that great commission is the purpose of the church? Anybody believe that here? Come on, we're going to get done. Everybody cool? All right, I want to compliment you. You've done some good things. Now, there's three things we want you to do. First of all, live out your faith, the big five. Worship God, be in Bible study, get some good friends, good believers around you. Pray constantly without ceasing. Okay? You ready? And serve God with the abilities that you have. Do that. See what happens to this place. Keep worshiping. Keep learning. Keep having... How many of y'all got some positive friends here in the church? Okay, good. Five of you. Good. How many of y'all have negative friends here at the church? Y'all repent and become positive and you'll have that taken care of, okay? Okay, now here's the next thing I want you to do. I want you to take serious. I'm not up here just doing preacher talk. If you're a follower of Jesus, it is expected in your life for you to share that message. Well, I mean, that unlocks this place in an incredible way. You know, Sheriff, I'm proud of you taking care of this section over here. It's filled up. You keep working. God didn't give you a big mouth for no reason. It's for His what? Purpose. And it helps when you have a badge. You come to church or I'm going to put you in jail. That'll get a man to listen to the gospel. Makes sense? Give you opportunity to hear grace or confinement. Beautiful witness. Huh? Use your life to connect somebody to Jesus. Now, I'm serious about this. Y'all say, well, every preacher says that. Yeah, but they don't mean it. I mean it. I expect every year that your life goes by, at least one person has been connected to heaven because you breathe for 365 days. Now, help me. I'm in a discussion mode right now. Is that reasonable? Junior, let me break it down for you. That's like you asking one of your linemen to make one block per game. There's two of them. Does Coach Hayes ask you all to make more than one block? What does he expect out of you? And apparently y'all are doing that, looking at scores recently here. It's because you do what you're supposed to what? Do. Church, what would happen if every one of us made a connection with another human being? What does that do to this church? Begin to see the vision. Yes. And everybody's important, aren't they, my man? Yeah. Everybody can make a connection. That's a vision. Everybody makes a connection. What's this? Nathan Bolton. He can't walk with his legs, but he rolls with his wheels. And he's made more connection on two wheels than most people have made with two legs. You know why? He believes and doesn't doubt. Now, this is important heart. I want you to connect people. Do you all have a decent enough church that you can invite people here and they could hear about Jesus? Okay, if you're nervous about doing the Jesus thing, just give them an invitation to church. You say, well, that might cost me a dinner. I bet you can afford it. Amen? Make it that important. Somebody come to know Christ through my life. Now, here's the third part of the vision. I expect you to tithe. I'm not asking you for your money. I'm asking you for your tithe. I'm asking you to ante up with God. I'm asking you to get right with God. I'm asking you to get obedient. Because here's the thing. We can't see God's full church when we're not doing what God said do. And He said tithe. In Malachi, everybody was all frustrated. God, why? Watch this. It's interesting to me. God didn't say, when they asked Him, Malachi, what's wrong here? He didn't say, you're not having enough conferences. You're not having enough prayer meetings. You're not having enough worship gatherings. You don't have enough celebrity pastors teaching you some new methods on how to work with me. You know what He said? You have robbed God. You're holding on to what's mine. Here's where we are in the evangelical church. We only tithe 2% of what's available to the church. That means this. 80% of God's resources have not been given where they're supposed to be. Now, what do you think that's done to a society? Now, if you tithe, guess what? In my opinion, you have every right to say, God, please, let's move. I'm in line with you. I want now, if you don't tithe, I think you need to make this confession. I am a contributor to the problem. Fair enough? So when you see children going to the wayside and you see all this crazy stuff going on, you need to say, I make decisions to let some of this chaos in because I really don't want to live out my faith to the full potential. Don't look at me like you want to stone me. It's the truth. Why do y'all get so mad when I tell you the truth? It's because you're not in it. Well, what am I asking you to do? Well, step in it. It's not hard. Just do it. We need to have a Nike church. We need a Nike church. We need a church that doesn't have billboards and doesn't have whistles and doesn't have bells and doesn't have radio shows and doesn't have TV shows. The work of the Lord is so moving in it that they say, those folk just do it. Amen? Well, here's where we are. Y'all have done some great faithful things. 4 years ago, we started a Be the Dream campaign. Y'all have done well. Praise God. I want to show you some numbers the best I can. Here's what happened in Be the Dream campaign. I'm going to break it down. I'm going to break it down to kind of pastoral moving numbers, okay? We pledged $6,000 that by June we'd have $6,000 over about a 3.5-4 year period. $6 million. $6,000, we're asking God to do a huge miracle. That's not even half of a small car anymore. $6 million. You all stepped up. You stepped up. First of all, we paid off a debt of about $1.3 million. How many of y'all remember that? That's paid for. We got out of debt. Then we had to build a parking lot. And I bet some of y'all thought a parking lot cost about $100,000, didn't you? Y'all went, well, that's nice. I got some gravel and blacktop. Gravel and blacktop in today's cost about $702,000 for a parking lot. Now, how many of y'all are going, man, that's high. Who cares? It is what it is. Amen? That's what a parking lot costs today. Now, you got to have a parking lot to park what? Yeah, they're a necessity. That's what they cost. You got that done. Because if we were going to build a building, what did we have to have to go with the building? Parking lot. So we thought we'd get the parking lot out so people could start coming before we got the building. Kind of smart, isn't it? Third thing you got done is this worship center doesn't look like it did a year ago. Amen? And so that cost about, where's the worship center in there? Oh, about $495,000. Or you round it off like I do with Elizabeth. It's around $500,000 or so. Praise God, you got it done. How many of y'all like the way it looks in here better? Yeah, done a great job. Give God the glory. Done a great job being faithful. And here's the good news. We now have $2.1 million in liquid resource to move toward the building. And we've got some good news. Some people stepped up and made some faith promises that are going to come in here where we can start the building process. Now people are starting to step up to this deal. Now I want you to see the vision. Guys, I don't know any other way to do this than just be straight. If you're visiting with me, I'm sorry. I can't be a rah-rah pastor. I don't know how to do it, okay? I can't do it, so y'all are stuck with me. I don't know, Elizabeth and I, when we got to do stuff at the house, like we call a contractor, they tell us how much it costs, and we kind of save up money until we get enough so we can kind of do that. Is that the way y'all do it at your house? Okay, cool. Well, guess what? Man, you know, I'd go to church, and they'd have 1,400 banquets, eat 700 buckets of chicken to raise, you know, $250,000. Why don't you just do what the Bible says do? Tithe. Tithe. I trust God's word. Tithe. I think it's crazy that in the Church of Jesus Christ, we got to have fundraising campaigns. Why don't we just do what Jesus says? Tithe. But guess what? I'm just asking y'all to what? Tithe. If you do that, this building will be paid for. Isn't that wild? I'd like to ask you as a church that we would really have a vision that this, you know, praise God, the building's ready to go up. Okay? It's ready to go up. Now, some of you all, how many of you all have never been through a build at Hillview? Okay, great. Let me tell you all how we do it here. We have people that know what they're doing, and we just let them know what they're doing. Is that cool? Have y'all noticed how we only have people sing? We found this to be much more enjoyable in the church. How many of y'all ever went through one of those singings where the deacon's daughter that couldn't sing got to sing because she was the deacon's daughter? It wasn't a blessing. We all sat there and smiled and went, oh, isn't that so sweet? Which meant, man, when is she going to get quiet? You know, why don't we be honest about things in the church? If you can't sing, God wants you to do something else. We can all give. Because we've all been given stuff. We do this together. God's allowed us to put up an educational space. Well, what is this going to be used for? It's to bring in the next generation. Praise God. We're committed to children here. If you all have children, we love it. Keep having them. We love them. We believe there needs to be as many good Jesus children as there can be in the world. Amen? And so to do that, I'm glad we didn't build the building any sooner than this because it's been kind of a work in process, okay? Some people say, well, how come you don't give us a report every 3 months? Because we didn't know what we were doing yet. We were waiting on God to show us. Well, I'm glad we didn't give you a report because guess what? We started out with three floors, but we needed four. And so we kept praying, kept listening, and God shaped it. So this particular facility now is going to have a lower level. Okay? And then the next floor, which will be level with this worship center, that'll be all preschool floor. So keep having babies. Have at it. Twins and everything, Joseph and Amber, you know. Triplets next time. We're going to be able to handle them, okay? Twins enough, Amber? Okay, good deal. All right? Have these babies, man. Great. We got people here that can teach them. We got wonderful Bible study teachers. We got people that have been called out now that love teaching in children's ministry. We got one of the best, and I'll brag on them, we got one of the best children's staffs in America. Very few. I'm going to tell you what your kids got. Very few churches have on their staff people working with children and the pastors working with children that both of them, both Angela and Beth Ann, hold master's degrees in child development. That's how deeply they've studied to make sure your children aren't being babysitted, but are being blessed to grow in the ways of the Lord. Serious business. Yeah. Our preschool pastor, she got a law degree and a seminary degree. She can sue you and bless you. What do you think about that? Now, here's where we're going on this. Praise be unto God. We're going to be able to go on with it. But we got to keep giving to it. And I'm not going to let off our original prayer. What was our original prayer? Anybody remember the original prayer 4 years ago? God, that we would build this facility and after we got done with it, it'd be what?
Paid for.
Y'all thought I forgot about that, didn't you? Y'all act treating me like Elizabeth treats me sometimes. If I just kind of get quiet, he'll forget about what he said. I'm going to show you something. If every one of us tithe, as this building is being built, it will be paid for when we're done. Now, that's the facts. So if we can actually live in faith, why would we live in less than that? That's the vision. Make sense? And so we are going to get to build it. We got some things coming in that are going to allow us to start it. We'll start it in the spring of 08. I don't know how long it's going to take to go up, longer than we think. Because let me help you. The facility that we're putting up is 68,000 square feet, give or take a couple. You say, well, how big is that? This facility here is 28,000. Does that let you know? And guess what? We get that facility up. We're about done building here on this campus. And then guess what we're going to do? Church, 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 church. As many as we can. I hope when I'm an old pastor and have a big old white goatee like Colonel Sanders, I'll have to fly around in a helicopter and get out like this. And they'll say, Dr. Ayers, what do you think about all this? I said, whoa. I said, nobody would have thought it out of a bunch like us. But boy, Jesus thought about it when he called a bunch like us. Amen? Amen? So from Bowling Green to Cartago, Costa Rica, to Butler County, you know, to strange places like Greenwood, Indiana, Sylacauga, Alabama. You imagine a Hillviewites church in Sylacauga, Alabama? Now there's a joke. They're kind of southern down there. You imagine us coming down to Sylacauga, Alabama and having a mixed congregation? The Lord has spoken. Yeah? These are things that are going to go on if we do these things. Live out your big five: worship, teaching, fellowship with one another, service and prayer. Number two, everybody say, make a decision today. I'm going to use my life to connect another life to Jesus Christ. Number three, okay, tithe. And that's tithe everything. Time, resources, life, energy, spiritual gifts. Tithe it into the work of the Lord and see what happens. Amen? I'm done. Does anybody have any questions? This is question day. Anybody got any questions? Let me ask some questions then. Have I been clear today as your pastor? Do you feel like we know what we're doing? Now, here's some things I don't know. I don't know what color the rooms are, and I won't till we open the building. I don't know what kind of tile we're using, whether it's composite or laced or woven with fiber. I don't know. Won't know, because that's not our vision. Our vision is to connect people to who? Jesus Christ. Thank God we have some really qualified people in our church that know how to build buildings, and they're going to be in charge of building buildings, and I'm going to be in charge of connecting people to Jesus Christ. Cool deal? And then one day they'll say, hey, Rev. I say, what? They say, the building's ready. I say, good. He said, get us a big service open. We'll open it up and let's go at it. All right. Y'all cool with that? That's the way we do buildings at Hillview. Because you know what? I care about souls, not brick. But you got to have some brick to put the souls in. And we've come to that point. Amen? All right, how many of y'all ready to get this thing up and going by your giving and by your touch? And we're going to see your children in there. And if you all hear this, this is an outright lie now. Somebody says, well, Pastor Ayers just wants to build that facility for his children. That would be incorrect. I am building this facility for my grandchildren. My children are gone. They're about out of that whole zone, out of that whole building zone there. It'd be my grandchildren, Elizabeth's grandchildren. Elizabeth would be a grandmother when she'd be looking in there at some little old bucket-headed thing. Bucket-headed kid had a big old bucket head on and be looking in there. Whose bucket-headed kid is that in the nursery? That's the pastor's. That's Elizabeth's grandchild. Scott, don't be laughing. It happens quicker than you think over now. Y'all laughing, y'all are... Dr. Cox, don't be laughing. Quicker than you know it, you will have no hair, your knees will hurt, and you won't think about doing a push-up because they hurt. Huh? That quick. Ron Shelley, guess what? That quick. That quick. How care how quick? Yeah, that's right. See, you agree with me. You've been running on that interstate for a while. Last night, Elizabeth and I went to Blake's first college game. And I've never felt so aged in my life. I look down. We got to sit on a 50-yard line. I'm up in the stands. I look at the cheerleaders. They all look like my daughter. I look out on the field and I saw this bigger guy and a lot of other bigger guys. And I looked at Elizabeth and I said, "You got a son playing college football." She said, "You do too." See, the vision what? Grows, continues. Amen? So how many of y'all ready? How many of y'all ready to see this thing happen? Okay. Well, let's stand. We're going to close this service in a neat way today. Scott, we've been called to do three things I believe the Lord wants us to do. You see those things? You're in charge of leading one of them. That's worship. Grace. I guess what? I couldn't tell you about connecting people to Jesus today unless I gave you an opportunity to be saved today. Amen? You say, you mean somebody gets saved talking about the vision of the church? You better believe it. Watch this. Today, there's some of you here today, and you know you're not connected to Jesus. You know it. It's as real as rain. Well, here's what Jesus said. You ready to hear what he said? All have sinned. And then he said this, all can be forgiven. So now you and I got a decision to realize I've sinned and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know I haven't done what you've asked me to do. And Jesus, I want you to come into my what? Life. I believe you died on the cross and I believe you've risen from the grave." Those that believe that, guess what they do? Take a guess. Live. And those that doubt that, guess what they do? Say it with like you know. Die. Good. That's what we're up against at the altar. Some will doubt. Some will believe. Which one are you? Now, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus at Hillview, guess what? I'm going to ask today that you would just engage. What's the key word in that text? Go. Watch this. I'm going to give you that text, Matthew 28, so you can remember this, okay? Go and lo. If I go do, lo, he's with me always. If I'm about going, connecting people to Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, lo, he is with me always. I'll be aware of his presence. Amen? We've done that here at Hillview, and what have we been aware of? His what? Presence. Amen? All right. Has it been clear today? Mr. Holland, it has. Been clear. Coach Riley, have we been lined up today? You ever have to do this as a coach, line up the fundamentals? We're lining up the fundamentals of following Jesus today. Man, did you ever have to do that when you were coaching? You got to dribble no matter what if you're playing basketball, right? Even if you're a good shooter, you still got to what? Dribble. Got to worship, got to give. You got to get connected to Jesus. Will y'all pray with me right now? And we're going to come to the altar. Lord, there's some folk here today that need you bad. And I'm just going to ask right now, Lord, if they're supposed to be connected to you right now, that you just, engage them with the Spirit, Jesus. And may they come forward today and say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to be real with you, Jesus. I want to know your love." All right, church, now look at me. That's an invitation to get saved. That's for everybody. Are you ready? Today, I want you to come and pray. I know at 9:30 y'all don't like coming to the altar. I know some of y'all, I've heard you tell me, "Pastor, I get it done in my chair." That's fine. But today, I'm just asking, let's step forward together as a church today and say, "God, we want to live out this vision and not doubt it." Amen? And I'm just really asking you not to doubt what God would do with you and just let the beauty of Jesus Christ emerge in this congregation. Amen? Y'all are a beautiful bunch of folks. Y'all see what God's going to do with it. Amen? All right. Good news. The altar is open. Grace is available to you. If you need to be baptized, come. Let's talk about it. But let's pray together and end this service as followers of Jesus Christ here at the altar saying, "God, we're going to go get done what you ask us to get done." Amen? The altar's open. Come on forward. Feel free to come right now. Feel free to let the Lord bless you. Come if you need to ask him in your life. Come if you need to be baptized. And then I'm asking you to come that we just pray for the church. Pray that we would give faithfully. Pray that we would use our blessings well. Come on, church. Amen.